Yeah, I'm the deputy project scientist for the NASA Mars 2020 rover mission.
How did you end up in your current position at JPL?
Right. Well, I've studied sort of a combination of geology, biology, and geochemistry for quite a while since I was an undergraduate. In graduate school, I started to focus on geochemistry and eventually moved into the world of astrobiology. So I've been associated with the NASA Astrobiology Institute in one way or another for a long time. My PhD work was on a mass extinction event at the Triassic-Jurassic boundary. So I was particularly interested in understanding the change in climate and the interaction between the living Earth and the non-living systems on the Earth during that mass extinction and the recovery interval from that mass extinction, with a focus on changes in the carbon and sulfur cycle. Under the umbrella of astrobiology, it was funded largely by the NASA Astrobiology Institute during my PhD. That was related to astrobiology in that we were trying to understand how habitability, at least for complex life on Earth, has changed throughout Earth history. I started to become particularly interested in the relationship between sort of habitable conditions for complex life, particularly during mass extinction events, when it looks like habitability for complex life collapses and many animal and plant species go extinct. What happens to the microbial biosphere? And so through a collaboration with someone at JPL, Abby Allwood, someone at MIT, Roger Summons, I eventually found my way to JPL, and there was a job there as an organic geochemist to start a laboratory there, which I did. And we call that the Astrobiogeochemistry Lab, or the ABC Lab for short. And so this is a stable isotope and organic geochemistry lab. And not long after coming to JPL, I got involved with the MSL mission. This was after the Curiosity rover had landed on Mars. I became involved with that mission in a role called Surface Sampling System Scientist, or SSS Scientist. And my job there was to be an interface, as a member of the science team, be an interface between the science team and the engineering team operating the rover, specifically for issues of sampling. So especially when we wanted to collect a drill sample, but even when we wanted to place the arm and do contact science with some of the instruments like APXS or the MOLLE imager, helping communicate rationale for selecting targets between the science team and the engineering team. And through doing that, I learned a lot about mission operations. I'm a co-investigator on Sherlock, which is a deep UV laser fluorescence and Raman instrument on the Mars 2020 rover. I was asked to be the deputy project scientist.
Okay. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about how the way the students have taken on their roles and the kind of exploratory decisions they're making, the way they've set up the teams and the way they're operating together. Maybe you can give us a little feel for how that's going to feed into Mars 2020, if it's going to feed in at all. I mean, I assume you're going to take things away. Is there anything that you've learned, been able to communicate, actually, from your experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's a fantastic exercise for many reasons. So I think one very important thing that it's doing really for Canada is helping to train young scientists and engineers in what it's like to participate in a surface mission, in a rover mission, and even more generally, probably in a spacefaring mission. So that's great. Because the more young scientists and engineers we have trained to do that, the larger pool of participants we will have as, you know, NASA does surface missions and ESA does surface missions. So the specific thing that I hope to get out of this from the Mars 2020 perspective is to understand a bit better how we can develop our own science team training program. You know, the activity we just left downstairs was a great example of the kind of science decision making that, that we're going to face during Mars 2020, mm-hmm. balancing strategic, that is longer term scientific decision making against tactical decision making. And finding that balance is really a key challenge for us on Mars 2020. So activities like this are so helpful in that regard. A couple of things that I've found most interesting are watching the science and engineering team grapple with limited resources, decision making, you know, in the context of limited resources. So we had, as some new ideas came up, you know, you can always count on scientists to come up with last minute desires to kind of change the plan and get a little more or get something different. And you can count on the engineers to be, you know, frustrated by that and have to balance, sometimes have to make the hard call and say, yeah, we just can't do that, or that's too risky. It's too risky to change the plan right now. Or they say, okay, let's go for it, and they make the change, and it's always a risk, and it's always a trade, and it's always a negotiation. I mean, these missions are really, at their most fundamental level, a constant negotiation between scientists and engineers, and I've seen a lot of that going on here at Western, and I think the team has just been fantastic in their ability to communicate rapidly, flexibly, clearly, sometimes make changes to the plan and add and get good new science, take risks, do things that they hadn't, you know, really prepared for and thought about, but go for it and get good results. In other cases, come back with the answer and say, no, we can't do that. We got to stick with the plan. So that's been great. I've also seen how scientists are a limited resource. So I've seen particularly what we're calling the GIS team. So how critical the GIS team is to this effort. And there's only three of them, and today there are only two of them. Mm-hmm. And so they are such an important resource, and they're getting pulled in many different directions. And so that's something I've learned. You know, we have a similar team back at JPL already that's involved, but I think one of the things I'm going to take back from this is just making sure that we have the resources, you know, available that we need to get that to get the geographic information we need quickly and efficiently to be able to enable science and engineering decision-making.
Okay, well, it was really good hearing from you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us today.
Sure, happy to do it. It's been very useful to us, to Mars 2020, and very fun for me, so thanks for the invitation.